Well, we're going to return to the gospel passage that was read, John chapter 12. Now, we wonder how will St. David's Day 2017, or at least St. David's Day service 2017, be remembered in Llantris. And I'm sure you'll be like me, and you'll remember the day that the choir came. And that will be firmly fixed. We'll remember the Gideons, and we'll remember the day that the choir came. And but I wonder about John chapter 12. What will be remembered about the day that Jesus visited Bethany? This passage is recorded in John's Gospel, it's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, and it's recorded in Mark's Gospel. And in one of the other Gospels, Jesus said that what this woman did here in Bethany, what this woman did, Mary, will be remembered throughout all the ages, throughout the nations. And what did she do? She anointed the body of our Lord Jesus Christ for burial. She was the only person, and this was 6 days before the Passover, about a week before the death of the Lord Jesus, she was the only person to see that what he'd said, that he would suffer, and that he would die, and he would rise from the dead, she was the only one to understand that he was going to die. And so she came, and she broke the top off of an alabaster jar, and she anointed the body of the Lord Jesus for burial. And this story has been repeated throughout the nations and throughout the centuries. And so whilst we will remember the day that the choir came, this story will be remembered through many nations. It's a significant story. Now let me give you the background to it. In verse 1, it mentions that it's 6 days before the Passover, and Jesus comes to Bethany, where Lazarus had been dead, who was raised from the dead. In other words, this town Bethany is connected with one man. And everybody was speaking about this one man, Lazarus. He's singled out here. He's mentioned here. Bethany is the place where Jesus raised this man, Lazarus, from the dead. An outstanding miracle. And Mary, who was to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus, was his sister. Now, there are many people today who can do optical illusions. You think of somebody like Dynamo. And sometimes you wonder how he does the things that he does. But they're optical illusions. But this raising of Lazarus was no optical illusion. He had been dead for 4 days. He was in the grave for 4 days. And now it's a number of weeks afterwards. And we find him alive. He's eating and drinking. He's not a ghost. His actual body has been raised up and is able to receive food. And Jesus, knowing that he is about to go to the cross, he decides to spend time with this precious little family, with Lazarus, who he loved very much, with Martha and Mary, two sisters and a brother. He loved to spend time with them. And they live just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And so he goes to spend a meal with them. Now, we learn from another gospel that they weren't in the home, actually, of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, but they were in the home of Simon the leper, whom Jesus had healed. Maybe had a bigger home. The 12 disciples were there. Perhaps other people were there. And so Jesus has come to this home. And they're reclining at the table. The disciples are there. Simon Peter, that one who Jesus said was a rock. Upon his confession of faith that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the very church would be built upon that confession. Yes, he had a flamboyant character and he said things that he ought not to have. But Jesus loved Simon Peter. He was there at the table. The very passionate man there also, John. John the Beloved. There were all sorts of different characters around the table. There was Nathanael, one in whom there was no guile, a guileless fellow. And there was Lazarus. Maybe it was a Thanksgiving meal that the Lord Jesus had raised him from the dead. There was Simon, this leper, who'd been cleansed and cleaned from his leprosy. And we read again that Martha's busy serving. Verse 2. There they made him a supper. It was on the honor of the Lord Jesus. And Martha served. You often read that about Martha, don't you? She's busy doing. She loves the Lord and she wants to show her faith in action. She's doing all she can for the disciples, preparing a meal, making sure the house is clean. She serves. But we're going to focus upon one person, Mary. And when we read about her in the scriptures, we see Mary, who is one who is utterly devoted to the Lord Jesus. Whilst her sister is busy serving, she just loves to sit at the feet of Jesus, or she just loves to hear his word, or she just loves to pour an act of love and devotion upon her Saviour. And so unexpectedly, in this happy gathering, Mary comes. And in our passage, we read that she anoints the feet of Jesus with precious oil. And then she wipes her feet with her hair. Now I'd like to first of all look at this devotion and think about it. And think, what does it mean for you and for me? It was a costly devotion. We need to ask ourselves the question, do we have that warm, fervent love for Jesus? And do we show by our actions such devotion as she showed? But then I want to consider a dark situation. We're going to consider her devotion, but then darkness, because somebody's pouring cold water on what she's done. Somebody's speaking in a negative way, not seeing that this is a devotion to Christ, but there's a detractor there. Somebody who's taking away from the blessing of the situation. So we're going to consider somebody who's imprisoned in his soul in darkness. So first of all, devotion. Secondly, darkness. But then we're going to end with divinity. We're going to see our Saviour masterly responding to the situation, owning that lovely girl, Mary, defending her, speaking up for her. Mary was one who often didn't say very much. You don't see her speaking very much in the scriptures. She speaks through her actions. And when she's criticized, on another occasion she was criticized by Martha, she didn't defend herself. She didn't say a word. She kept silent. But the Lord spoke for her. And here we see the Lord speaking for her again. So let's consider devotion. Well, today is St. David's Day. Many stories about David, aren't there? And he was a great missionary. Went throughout Wales, preaching good news about Jesus, a great Christian leader. Maybe some of the stories that we hear are fables, stories about miracles that seem very hard to believe, such unusual ones that you wouldn't think would be true. And often things, when you look back over 1,500 years, well, things do get distorted, don't they? But there were true things about him. He came from royal descent. His mother was raped by a prince in Wales. And yet, although he came from such a situation, born through rape, thankfully there was no abortion, this man was born. He started to preach in Wales, in the towns, in the valleys, and defend the faith. The Anglo-Saxons had brought in paganism to the British Isles, and many people were turning away from Christianity to paganism. A synod was held, the Synod of Brevi in 560. David was there, and he defended the faith. A heresy was entering in. Pelagianism, which is exalting human will. And David said, we're not to exalt human will and speak about free will and free will. And the way in which it's been presented was heresy. He said, we need to talk about the will of God. And through his speech at that synod, the church was brought back to the scriptures. He had a very simple lifestyle, didn't he? He ate bread and water, milk and vegetables. He wouldn't eat meat. He wanted to lead a simple lifestyle, preaching about Jesus Christ. So the people of Wales remember him. But then think about Mary. She will be forever remembered. In Wales, we have Welsh speakers. In Argentina, don't we? And maybe they have been celebrating St. David's Day, maybe not knowing too much about St. David. But not many other countries in the world will be remembering David. But all over the world, people will be remembering the devotion of Mary. Well, what was it? We learn from Judas in verse 5 that what she'd given was worth 300 denarii. She broke off the top of this perfume bottle and she poured it over Jesus' head. That's what we've learned from Matthew 26. In our passage, over his feet, so much oil and perfume that it anointed his whole body. And it was worth 300 denarii. And one denarius was one day of work. In other words, 300 days of work. And if you take out the Sabbaths, that's nearly a complete year. So if you earned 20,000 today, or 25,000, or 30,000, that would be like using that amount of money in one go. It was obviously very exquisite, expensive perfume. And so her devotion was very costly. Sometimes I wonder whether just being three single people, whether they were keeping that perfume back. Maybe they were possibly could have sold it in the future, helped them in retirement. Who knows? But you know, for her, she was willing to use up all that perfume in one go. You see, it wasn't just that she gave a few drops, was it? A few drops on the head of Jesus or upon his feet, but she seems to use it all up, every last drop. She anoints his whole body. She doesn't fear what people think. She just loves the Lord Jesus. It's extravagant, isn't it? And it's costly. Now, I believe she prepared this. It was in one sense spontaneous love. But it was thoughtful. It was prepared. She knew what she was doing. She was anointing Jesus for burial. Now, she loved Jesus. She loved him so much. Why did she love him? She loved him because she knew that she was a sinner. She knew that there was nothing good about her. She knew that she failed God miserably. God has showed her that she was a sinner. And yet there come a day when she'd come to know forgiveness of sins. Jesus, like he did to many other women, may well have pronounced, your sins are forgiven you. Go in peace. She knew joy. She knew the Savior personally. And that was what mattered to her. And she loved him with all of her heart. She loved his teaching. She loved to listen to his word. She couldn't get enough of it. When Martha once was busy serving, she wasn't interested in sweeping up and clearing up. She just wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. She loved him. She loved him because he was so kind to her whole family, saving each one of them, raising her brother from the dead. And so though it was costly, and though it was extravagant, in one sense, if she'd had two bottles or three bottles or four, she would have offered them all. She wanted to give everything to Christ. She saw in him such beauty, such loveliness. She saw him to be her saviour. Her religion wasn't cold. It wasn't about keeping up appearances, believing some sort of formal creed. Her religion was living. She knew Jesus was her saviour and her Lord and her master. She was following him. She was following his teaching. She was adoring him. She'd given her life to him. What a wonderful disciple she was. I wonder about you. What do you think about religion? Is religion just singing hymns? Is religion just going to church? Is religion about being nice? Is religion about keeping up appearances? Is that what it is? Or do you recognize that you're a sinner in the sight of a holy God and a God who hates sin? A God who is so pure, his eyes are so pure that he cannot look upon evil. It's hard for us to contemplate the holiness of God. God is so different to us. Every thought of God is pure. And Jesus Christ was the Son of God, one with his Father. And Mary had come to see that Jesus was like no other man. She saw him as faultless. She saw him as a lover of her soul. And though she was a sinner, she found in him forgiveness. What about you? Have you seen that God is a holy God and he hates sin? But have you seen that Jesus is the only solution? Have you seen that only he can wipe away your sins? Only he can cleanse you? Only he can rescue you from the wrath of God? And have you got that warm heart? Do you embrace the Savior? Do you pray to him? Do you love him? Mary loved him. She had a devoted heart. We sing some lovely hymns, don't we? Charles Wesley loved the Lord Jesus. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. He was saying, the whole of nature isn't enough to offer to God. His love is so amazing. He's loved me with an eternal, endless love. It's amazing. I give my life, my all to him. Have you done that? In the Bible, we read of different people who are devoted to their Lord. Some people don't have very much. There was a widow, and all she had was 2 coins, the widow's mite. But what she had, she gave to God because she loved God. She gave everything. Barnabas loved God. He had a warm heart. He loved God's people. And so he sells the field, and he gives it to the Lord. His love demonstrated in action. He so loves God that is shown in the generosity of his heart. Paul so loved God that he poured out his life as a drink offering. He so loved his Savior that he just spent himself for Christ. Abraham so loved God that when God said, I want the nearest and dearest, I want you to offer it as a sacrifice, he was willing to do so. The church in Macedonia so loved God that they gave out of their deep poverty beyond their ability. Dorcas so loved God that she gave tunics and clothes to poor widows. She made them. You see, these people were captivated by the love of God. Mary, she's captivated by Jesus. He's the only one that really matters in her life. He's the one who saved her from her sin. And she loves him. What about you? Religion can be a very cold thing, a very hard thing, a very lifeless thing. Religion will never save a soul. Religion can speak about a distant God a miles away that nobody knows. But the Bible speaks about a living God who's present in Jesus Christ, a God who loves sinners. Do you love him? Have you offered your life to him? But briefly, let's consider the darkness. There's much light in here. There's a warmth of Christ's love. And there's a light that shines from Mary and her devotion. But there's darkness in this passage. You see, there's a man here. He has a hard heart. He's imprisoned in his sin. Judas Iscariot. He's a thief. He's double-minded. He may have done missions. He may have been with the disciples. He may have performed miracles. He may have done much. But his heart is not changed. He's not transformed. And so he cannot see love in this act of Mary. He criticizes her. He judges her motives. He says basically she's foolish. He doesn't see that she's pouring devotion upon the Lord Jesus. He says, well, and it sounds so righteous, doesn't it? He says, well, that perfume, that oil, could have been sold. And we could have gained 300 denarii, and we could have given the money to the poor. It sounds so righteous. Sounds so right, doesn't it? What a waste, he's saying. But he just hasn't seen the love this woman has for the Saviour. There's darkness in his heart. And you know, we read in verse 6 that he looked after the money. And he'd been taking money, stealing, robbing. Nobody else had realized it. God had seen it. God had seen what was in his heart. He didn't really care for the poor. He cared only for himself. He was in darkness. Think of the contrast. Here she is, so unselfish, so loving, so giving. Here he is, so selfish, so unloving, so different from Mary. He's in absolute darkness. And that's what religion can do for people. In fact, that's what the heart does, doesn't it, that's born in sin. But people, religion doesn't help them. It hadn't helped this man Judas. He was a religious man. He spoke about religious things, but his heart wasn't transformed. In the Bible, you'll find different people who devote themselves to God and others mock. David dances before the Lord, and his wife despises him. Luke 7, another lady, she falls at the feet of Jesus and wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. And another man, another Simon, he's criticizing in his heart. You'll always find that where there's true devotion to Jesus, there'll always be the detractors. But you know, Jesus here in the presence of all of his enemies, at least one and maybe others, he's being anointed with oil. And so I want to turn lastly to Jesus. We've seen devotion. We've seen that darkness that's there in the heart of Judas. But let's think lastly of divinity. Verses 7 and 8, the passage ends wonderfully. What does he say? He says, let her alone. You see, already Judas's thoughts have been affecting the other disciples. We read in the other Gospels, the other disciples started to say, yes, it should have been used, this money, for the poor. And sometimes that happens, doesn't it? One person's discontent spreads to others. One person's negative thoughts and accusations affects others. And the disciples were taken up with it. And Jesus says, let her alone. Leave her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always. Yes, the Christian church has always helped the poor. But he says, but you know me, you do not always have. This is her opportunity to show such love and devotion. And he says, she's done it for my burial. I'm going to a cross. I'm going to die. And that's the heart of the Bible, isn't it? That's the heart of the Christian message. Jesus had come into this world to be crucified in order that he might bear our sin. We sang, didn't we? Coming, Lord, weak and vile. And that's how we are. We're sinners. We're vile. But he cleanses us from all our vileness. Fully cleanses us. Fully washes us from all our vileness. And Christ, he went to the cross to take our sin. Such amazing love. And she was anointing him for his burial. When the ladies went to take perfumes later, they never got there, did they? Jesus had already been raised from the dead. They went, having waited the Sabbath day, they went to anoint the body of Jesus, but he'd already been raised. And he'd already been anointed by Mary. Jesus' mind was upon the cross. He was steadfast, resolute, going to that cross for you and for me. May it be in a world which is taken up with materialism, a world which is bombarded by all sorts of voices, a world that's taken up with messages on Facebook, messages on phone, internet, Snapchat, films, a world which has all sorts of voices coming at it all the time. May it be that we, as God's people, go to the cross. May it be that we spend time at the feet of Jesus. May it be that we look into his lovely face. May we see from his head, his hands and his feet, sorrow and love flowing mingled down. And may we see that thorn of crowns so rich. And may we worship him. He so loved us. May it be that we so love him. Amen.